Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Oh man, it's 6 p.m., and that means it's time for the Bullpen, starring the one and only Joe George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
Listen and be fascinated as the longtime producer becomes untethered by lesser talent and can truly talk sports the way he was meant to, with no reins or restrictions, with stellar takes and perfect diction.
I'm assistant regional manager. I should know first.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, okay.
Now, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen with Joe George.
Welcome into the Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio. BMAC behind the glass on Twitter at Sack by BMAC. Of course, we're going to talk some Astros today. We've got to wait till Saturday for the playoffs to really get underway for them. The Twins and the Blue Jays are currently in action. Twins up 3-1 in the bottom of the eighth. Royce Lewis hit two bombs today. For the Twins to give them the lead. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Obviously, it's important to the Stros for this weekend and the upcoming ALDS. We'll talk some Texans as well here in a second. We'll even get some Rockets in today because training camp is officially underway for your Houston Rockets. But let's talk some Texans here. You know, one thing that has happened over the last week on the Killer Bees and other shows is that all of a sudden, playoffs, division championships have come into the picture because the Texans have won two straight games. People feel good. CJ Stroud's playing really well right now. Like they have been impressive. But I want to take the playoffs out of the conversation because not everyone's ready to have that conversation just yet. Not everyone is ready to say that the Houston Texans are going to push for the playoffs and that they are going to have the chance to win the division this year because the division's not good and the schedule is easy. So the question I have is this. If you're wanting to take that out of the conversation, you're not willing to have it right now, what do you want to see the rest of the season after the first quarter of the NFL season is over from the Houston Texans? I think there's a bunch of different things you can look at. Obviously, you want to see the extended quality play of CJ Stroud. The first thing that I want to see the rest of the year just from this team, not worrying about wins and losses and taking that completely out of the equation, is I want to see how different this team looks on the offensive side of the ball when Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard, Juice Scruggs, when they get back. Like who are the Houston Texans with that offensive line? Because obviously the offense has been very good. Like they have beat up on the Pittsburgh Steelers. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars without those guys, but we did see in the first 2 weeks where CJ Stroud got sacked 11 times. Damian Pierce has really been a non-factor so far through 4 weeks. So, like, is he going to be the biggest beneficiary, you know, to this offense? But really, I wonder if there's this possibility that CJ Stroud can be even better than what he has been. That if he has the opportunity, like week 1 and 2, we saw Bobby Slowick trying to do these long bootleg plays where, like, C.J. Stroud had no prayer, right? Like, the pass rushers were getting to the quarterback. C.J. was having to throw the ball away or take bad sacks, and he just, like, they couldn't keep going for those big shots early in the game. And obviously that's changed in the last 2 weeks, but the first 2 weeks was tough. And it seems like that is something that Bobby Slowick wants to have in his offense, is these kind of long, drawn-out pass plays where they can push the ball down the field, and they have just failed to do so far in that exact instant, you know, with the play-action pass. I wonder if Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard, just those two guys being back specifically, if that changes. Because, like, they clearly, schematically, made a lot of good adjustments after the first two games. I just want to know, like, what they're going to go back to. The next thing on my list, and we just had this discussion on the Killer Bees about Will Anderson. You know, are you good with where he's at versus what Grenard has done production-wise? Because statistically, Jonathan Grenard has been better than Will Anderson so far this season. Now, the advanced stats, the nerdy numbers, all that stuff, it does favor Will Anderson. I'm curious if Will Anderson's stats and if his production, how much it increases throughout the year. Because he's not getting to the quarterback. He only has one sack. He's getting, like, the win pass rush rate is very successful. But, like, what is he going to be the rest of the year? Because I cannot imagine a world right now, because I was always good with the trade. I can't imagine a world where, like, in 14 weeks, I look back at the 2023 NFL draft and say, I did not like the Will Anderson trade. Because I already liked it then. And even if he doesn't have 6-7 sacks this year, I still think I'm going to like it. So that's the next thing on my list, is just what does Will Anderson do the rest of the year? But the biggest thing is, obviously, and it's the hardest thing to almost quantify, is that you just want this team to improve every single week. That you want this team to continue to build a winning culture for the first time since 2019. Like, that's how I view the Texans fans right now, who are unwilling to buy in, is they look back to, like, 2019 and the disaster that it's been since then, of, like, we can't buy in. We can't buy into the Houston Texans organization, because Cal McNair is still in charge. It's still the organization that let Jack Easterby run amok, all that stuff. And, like, I get it if you feel that way. I get if you're not willing to buy back in. But what can they change? What can they be the rest of the season? I think there's hope and optimism for all of it. So, like, what does the O-line do? What does Will Anderson do? Those are the two biggest things for me, that if you're going to take wins out of the equation, that I'm going to focus in on the rest of the year. And the third one being Damian Pierce, which kind of falls into the offensive line. Because, like, Josh Beard, like, his first week, I think it was literally, like, his first or second day on the station, he got put on Bad Take Boulevard because he went with the take that Damian Pierce could be replaceable, or that they could have added another running back. And we put him there on Bad Take Boulevard, and I thought at the time it was rightfully so. But it's hard to not look at the first 3 weeks of the season and be like, maybe the Texans could use someone that's, like, a little more dynamic. That, like, maybe someone that could catch the ball out of the backfield.
Like, maybe one who could throw a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Like Devin Singletary.
Is Devin Singletary's touchdown pass, was it better than Derrick Henry's, though? No. Derrick Henry's got a long history. Derrick Henry's got to be, like, top three all-time passing running backs. Number one, Walter Payton.
Oh, come on, Bears fan.
No. Look at the throws. Walter Payton. He could sling the rock.
Joe, remind the audience, what year were you born in?
1992.
Don't tell me about Walter Payton passing touchdowns. You didn't watch it, Joe. You weren't alive yet.
I've seen plenty of YouTube highlights. Okay?
Everyone looks good on highlights, Joe. Everyone.
Okay, Walter Payton's one of the best.
Yeah, I know. I'm not trying to say he's not a good player.
He's a top three passing running back of all time.
Like Christian McCaffrey, I just think he can do everything.
Christian McCaffrey's pretty good.
He can do everything.
He's so good right now. Like, low key,
he should have had 5 touchdowns last week.
Absolutely.
They tried to force feed a fullback touchdown, and then Brock Purdy. They tried to get Brock Purdy a rushing touchdown for some reason.
Why are fullbacks a thing?
Well, like, it's really just San Francisco. I mean,
the Texans have a fullback.
And where did that offense come from?
San Francisco.
It's San Francisco. Yeah. That seems to be the only remnants of for fullbacks in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
People who came from the San Francisco tree.
But, all right. So I want to hear from D'Amico Ryans and Jonathan Grenard here. We were talking about the expectations of this team, where they started with where they've been, the growth of this roster through 4 weeks. A lot of this is going to be coach speak. It's going to be rah-rah, I get it. And sometimes people are like, it doesn't really mean anything. But here's what D'Amico Ryans said yesterday when he met with the media about what he's seen from week one to now.
The cool part about our team is from where we started week one to where we are now. I mean, there's been major growth, man. And that's what I'm most encouraged about, is the growth that I've seen over the first 4 weeks, and knowing that we have even more, right, to grow and learn from. Right? You have to, I think the first 2 weeks, figuring out how to learn, figuring out, you know, how to win in this league. And you have to learn how to win, and took some lumps there, and guys, they're starting to see what it takes to win in this league. But now, as we continue to grow, it's just still honing in on the details, the fine details of our job. A lot of things that we can clean up, even from the win versus a tough opponent in Pittsburgh, right? There are a lot of things that we can clean up in all three phases of our game. So it's easier to clean them up after you win, but just understand there's still a lot of teaching, a lot of coaching going on with our guys.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But, like, they're encouraged. I'm laughing at the Twitchers right now complaining about Texans talk. So I got distracted there for a brief second because, you know, it's not like we – if we knew
– Oh, yeah, let's break down the Astros' next opponent. That's a good – oh, wait, we don't know who that is.
What do you want to talk about, the Twins and the Blue? We're going to talk about the Astros in the next segment, guys. Relax.
They don't play
till
Saturday. Relax.
Like, we'll get there. We got plenty of time. We don't even know what time they play. I hope it's not 12 o'clock. I hope it's not. Honestly, I will say I don't care. Like, that's one thing with, like, Astros fans that, like, I've never been able to, like, fully get on board with. Where, like, everyone gets so upset at the Astros get, like, the noon times. I know it's inconvenient during the week. The weekends don't bother me, though.
No.
It's the weekend.
And selfishly, I'm rooting for, like, a time that's, like, 2:30 because the bullpen's over at 2. And I have a Dynamo game that night, so I don't want...
You're done at 1:30 this week. You got
okay, regardless. I don't want it to be on while the Dynamo are on, because then I have to watch the game in here while also paying attention to the Dynamo.
That's true. That's very
selfishly.
True. Yeah, look, everything we do in this business is definitely selfishly based. But here's one thing that stuck out so far, I think, from me, from CJ Stroud, throughout this offseason and through now, is that even early on, like Titus Howard, Laremy Tunsil, the way they would talk about CJ... It was like, it's how they talk about a franchise quarterback. It's not how these guys would talk about Davis Mills in the past. Here is Jonathan Greenard talking about the winning culture the Texans are building around CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans.
I mean, I think overall, when you got a guy, like I keep going back to, a guy like Seven in the backfield, quarterbacking this thing up, slow calling the plays up, and then D'Amico obviously on the defensive side with me. All facets of the team, I just think that we're well-rounded, and I think that we're ready, and I think just guys are buying into it. I think, you know, we got a lot of younger guys like that who's come from success, like Damon as well, myself, other teams, you know, CJ. They understand what winning looks like and understand what winning is and what it takes to win. And you got a guy like D'Amico who understands what it's like to win in this league and in the NFL and done it, you know, not just as a coach but as a player as well. It registers with us a lot more, and it resonates with us a lot easier because it's just – we understand that it's not a facade. It's not fake, you know, pretty much everything, like I said, he's going to shoot you straight. You know, if he sees it, if it's not to that standard, he's going to say something. But everybody across the board just wants to win, and we're tired of having that stigma over to what the Texans usually is.
And that's what I think is important, really, from that bite, and why I like it, is that even the players know that, like, what has happened in the past is completely unacceptable.
And that's the big thing for me, because we, you know this, Joe, we heard it during May and June, during mini camp and during training camp in July and August. But it's one of those things, you hear that sort of thing in training camp and in mini camp.
It means nothing.
In OTAs, you're like, okay, he's supposed to say that. He's supposed to say the rookie quarterback looks good. He's supposed to have his teammates back. But then when you see what they were talking about for these last 4 months leading up to the season, and then you see that same thing on the field against, you know, teams that include TJ Watt and some really good defenses, then you start to take notice and, like, okay, maybe they were spot on about this. And for veterans to already have that sort of that level of respect for a rookie quarterback with four career starts is telling.
Yeah. They believe in a way that I think that is just – you should believe in your quarterback that, like, you can win a Super Bowl with him. And I don't know, like, no one's saying that right now with CJ Stroud in that locker room, but they finally believe that, like, especially these guys like Greenard who have been here through some of the worst times a franchise could have. Like, they finally just have a guy that they themselves believe in, and a coach too. Like, CJ's getting a lot of love in this, but D'Amico's really the guy that, like, he's the one that's moving the needle, I think, for me, as someone that follows the Texans and is now a Texans fan because I entered and left the transfer portal. But, like, D'Amico Ryans, I don't know how, like, you just don't absolutely love what he has brought to this organization. It's been so refreshing what they have been through 4 weeks. That's why it's so hard to not just be glowingly positive about them, because it's been so bad for so long that, like, the littlest things feel like massive wins.
And I know we got to get to break, so I'll keep this quick here. But you asked at the beginning of the segment, like, what would it take you to, like, get on board and, like, believe this is for real and not indifferent than 2019? And you just answered, it's D'Amico. It's not Bill O'Brien at the helm. Yeah. And that's the biggest difference. Look,
and it's not Tim Kelly.
Right. Like, we all have questions about Cal McNair and you know, Nick Caserio. There's a lot of things that we have questions about. But the guy at the top, the guy at the podium every week is D'Amico Ryans, not Bill O'Brien. And that's why I believe it's different than 2019.
And not David Culley.
And not David Culley.
And
absolutely.
Not Lovie Smith.
Yes, exactly.
All right, but speaking of the Astros, who do you believe in the most? As like the portion of the roster for the Astros that if they're going to go back to the World Series, win a World Series, even just get to the ALCS, like what is your confidence ranking in the bats, the bullpen, the rotation? Hit on that next year on the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. Fighter of the night, man.
You're a master of karate and friendship for everyone. Damon!
What do you do after a full day's work of producing and corralling all of the individual conflicting personalities at ESPN 97.5? Well, if you're Jumpin' Joe George, you do another hour of sports talk. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen.
The Astros, we know, will start their playoff run for another chance at a World Series on Saturday. We don't know who it will be against. I'm curious. We talked earlier on the Killer Bees about who you'd rather face between the Twins and the Blue Jays. I guess I landed on the Blue Jays. I don't really feel like neither of them move me in a way, to be honest. Like, I don't have any issues of, like, whether they play the Twins or the Blue Jays, I think both those teams, you can beat them. You don't have any issues beating them. They both cause the same problems. Their pitching's good. Their bats can wake up at any moment. Like, there's a lot of talent on both sides. Also, like, it's just the playoffs. Like, you can't pick and choose. If I could pick and choose.
Yeah, you can't pick and choose. I mean, I think they both have an ace at the top that you fear could strike out, you know, 10 Astros and dominate you.
Yes.
But I think if one of the team's, you know, bats just bludgeoning you to death, it'd be the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So I'd rather face the Twins, but I get what you're saying. It doesn't really matter a whole lot, but
yeah.
I'd rather face the Twins.
Yeah, I think I'd rather. I think
Plus, you don't have to go to Canada. I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, like, you don't want to go to Canada. America Junior?
No, yeah. Thanks. I mean, they can. Everyone can play in Canada this time. Unlike there was concerns about that.
I know, like, Benintendi had an issue. Like, there was that series, I think, last year, the year before, where, like, half the Royals team couldn't play because they weren't vaccinated.
And the Twins just took the lead 1-0 in that series, so best out of three. So, look, we might even know who the Astros are playing by tomorrow. I really don't. I'm glad it's not a one-game series anymore because, like, the idea that, like, the Toronto Blue Jays season would be over right now is just the dumbest thing on the planet. I cannot believe baseball actually thought that was a good idea at one point in time. But when you get to Saturday, okay, the Astros are playing whoever. Twins, Blue Jays, whatever. Who do you believe in the most? Is it the lineup? Is it the rotation? Is it the bullpen? Because
it's so hard to answer.
They have been all roller coasters this year. Like, in moments, Framber Valdez has been throwing no hitters, and then he's been a head case. Justin Verlander has been all over the map since he got here. Christian Javier has been a nightmare until his last, like, three starts. I think we did this on the Killer Bees. I think fourth game after his last performance on Friday goes to Jose Urquidy, who that performance
on
was
a short
incredible.
Leash, I assume.
Yes, very short leash. JP France has been, like, super high. Like, the changeup was nasty to all-time lows, it felt like, at least for his young career. Hunter Brown's not part of this equation.
No, Hunter Brown's not part of it. I think France is basically on call to piggyback either Javier or Urquidy if needed. I mean, I think that's kind of where you're at.
You know, the last time the Twins won a playoff game before today was 19 years ago.
Wait, they haven't won a playoff game in 19 years?
They haven't won a playoff game
in 19 years? Was that Johan Santana?
That was 19 years ago. Could you imagine?
So 2004? So that would have been Johan Santana.
Yeah. Their first playoff win since in 19 years. That sucks. Imagine
now,
having
now
to like,
do
live
the
in
Angels.
Minnesota. I don't even know what the
Mike Angels. Trout has zero playoff wins in his career.
Yeah.
Not playoff series, just games.
That's awful. So this is my order, okay? Number one, confidence that like they're going to be the reason why the Astros get back to the World Series, win a World Series, whatever you want to say, at a bare minimum get to the ALCS again. It's the bullpen. Okay, I know Montero's in there, but like between the other guys, Abreu, Neris, Stanek, Maton, Graveman, and then Presley, who like rightfully so is Stressley sometimes.
Yeah, he's Stressley.
Like, I still believe that bullpen can be close to what they were last year. Are they going to be perfect like they were last year? Absolutely not. There's going to be hiccups in the playoffs versus what you saw last year was the best run of all time we've ever seen from a bullpen. But number one's the bullpen. Okay, I don't think it's even close just because we have seen how dominant they can be through an entire postseason run. Number two, I'm going to go the lineup. My hesitation with this is like we just don't know what that lineup is.
The way you said it didn't sound confident. Because like, it was a lineup question
like,
mark?
It's Michael Brantley. Like when I say lineup, I think Michael Brantley's playing.
Like, okay, let me ask you, let me phrase it to you this way. If you knew Dusty was going to start the death lineup, would it possibly boom up to number one? Because I think part of why you would bake that in at number two, or part of why you have that number two, is the baked in reason of you know Dusty is going to have personal center fielders, personal catchers, and you're not going to get the best possible offensive lineup on the field at all times.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely that's why I have him two, and there's an argument for three. Like if the death lineup was out there, it would make things much easier. But look, I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, I've looked at every single time the Astros have played the Minnesota Twins in Minnesota since Yordan Alvarez got on the team, or the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, I think they went 2-4 against the Twins this year.
But my question is, like, is Yordan going to be in left when they play on the road, or is he going to be your DH? Because, like, when he's in left field, it just adds to the depth of your lineup because that can be, you know, Brantley, Diaz, whoever. Like, especially if Brantley's not playing, Diaz can be your DH, and then you can have Diaz and Yordan both in the lineup at the same time. And it's just – so I have him at two. The rotation is number three. Like confidence meter or like confidence rankings of like this is the reason why the Astros get back to the World Series or at least the ALCS this season. I put the rotation at number three just because it's been such a roller coaster. It has been so up and down for pretty much every single guy you are going to throw out there. And they have all thrown so many innings over the last couple years. Like I just do not believe in them the way that I believe in the bullpen and the way I believe in the lineup. Because the thing about the lineup is that you only need three or four guys to carry you in a game. Like, if Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez go off in a game, you can win that baseball game. But if Framber Valdez or Justin Verlander or any of these guys, like, give up three, four, five runs in the first two innings, you're playing from behind. Like, we saw that a lot, you know, in the last couple weeks of the season where, now some of it was, like, obviously, like a Hunter Brown. But like they would get to the Astros pitchers early, and then you'd be chasing them the entire game, and they would get close, but like they couldn't just like get over that hump, and find a way to win those games when they get behind early. So that's why I have the rotation at three. So my confidence meter of what it is that it's number one, it's the bullpen. Number two, it's the lineup. Number three, it's the rotation.
We agree on the rotation. I would also have them third, but I would flip-flop one and two. It feels like it's such a tough question to answer because there are parts of each that I feel absolutely 100% confident in, like specifically with the bullpen, you know, Brian Abreu and Hector Neris, I feel 100% locked in on. Same thing with the lineup. I feel 100% confident in Yordan and Jose Altuve and a few others. But then there, with each of them, you can nitpick, right? You can nitpick, oh, well, Maldi, you know, Dubon doesn't have a lot of power. Then you obviously, with the bullpen, you can nitpick Montero, and Graveman hasn't been, you know, all that great since the trade. So I will go with the lineup mostly because both sides have weaknesses. Both sides have things that concern me. But those guys in the lineup compared to the bullpen, and maybe this is, you know, picking nits a little bit, but to me, they have more pelts on the wall, and they have more long-term success that makes me believe they can repeat what they've done before than the bullpen.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. 8664, Ocho says, I don't think the Astros are the best team, nor do they have an identity, so I'm just hoping they catch a hot streak individually and or collectively to win this thing again. Look, The one thing with the end of the Astros season is because they had to play in those pressure-packed moments, like, you had some momentum going your way.
That could be the beginning of the hot streak.
It could be the beginning of the hot streak. The funniest part about the Astros winning the division that I feel like has been kind of just not talked about as much because, like, everyone's feeling super positive about what happened. It is hard to ignore what they did at home this year. And now you've just guaranteed that for the ALDS, like, if it's going to go five games, three of the five are going to be at home. Like, how much more can they paint the batter's eye?
The bench made some jokes about this the other day when I was working this show. And part of me actually believes they're right, that you have to – Astros fans need to go into the stadium and start chanting FL2VE and booing them loudly to make it feel like it's a real game. And to the point, like, where if the Astros win game one, I want to hear Alex Bregman talk about how they're glad to still win at home and make sure they got what they needed at home before they go out and take care of business on the road. Look, I do think it's hard to say there's nothing there because it's in 80. There's 81 games at home. It's not like it's an extremely small sample size, so there's got to be something to it. But if this truly is the beginning of a hot streak, they did win five of their last six against two playoff. Well, one playoff team and one team that missed it by a couple games, but two above 500 teams. That I think this could be what, you know, lights their confidence. What ignites their confidence, what gets them going. And if this is the beginning of a hot streak, then hopefully it won't matter that, you know, they played poorly at home. They'll just continue the hot streak going regardless of where they are.
Yeah. Are you good with Urquidy being the fourth guy?
Yeah, I'm fine with that as long as the caveat that is like we discussed earlier, France is your piggyback guy. I don't really want Hunter Brown anywhere near this. I mean, his ERA finished over five for the season.
I don't really trust him.
I really question
if he's going to be on the playoff roster.
Yeah, when would we find that out? I guess probably not till Friday.
Yeah, my guess is Friday. I guess part of it depends on the game time. If they were to get a 6 o'clock game on Saturday, I think potentially we could see the playoff roster come out on Friday. But my guess is that when the
Twins and Blue Jays wraps up, we'll get that on
Friday when they meet with the media. But when both teams are here in town at Minute Maid on Friday, that we will have the playoff roster at that point. So I think his only possible
role could be bullpen. I don't know why you would. Now I would say, look, there's been no reason to really have confidence in Hunter Brown for what he did over the second half of the season. But what I will say is what we saw from Hunter Brown, and even in his worst starts, for the most part, I'm not saying this is 100% of the time, but when the teams got to him, it would always be second, third, fourth inning. Generally, his first inning was usually fine. So if he is in a bullpen role, I do have a slight bit of hope. Maybe it's hope more than confidence that he could actually be a decent one-inning reliever. The stuff is still there.
Yeah, Hunter Brown's going to be fascinating because Dusty Baker, like the way he used Jose Urquidy last year in the playoffs.
Basically not at all.
He didn't use him.
He only came in the mop-up duty against the Phillies.
Yeah, he only pitched in the one game. There was obviously the 18-inning game, game two versus the Mariners. He was the only pitcher that was not used in that game. I kind of expect Hunter Brown to be off the playoff roster for the ALDS and then be back on for the ALCS and potentially the World Series.
Yeah.
Just as last resort, or it's a blowout one way or the other. All right, so one thing we've been doing, we're going to start doing this on Wednesdays, but we're not going to have a show tomorrow because the Dynamo are in action early tomorrow. So pregame will kick off with Glenn Davis, and he'll be on tonight at 7 here as well. So no show tomorrow. So tonight we're going to do Hot Seat Watch. But we're going to do something that I try to do every year, and I try to see how wrong or right I can be. I'm going to call my shot on how many coaches are going to get fired in the NFL and how many quarterbacks are going to lose their job before the start of the 2024 season. We do that next year on the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
97.5 and 92.5. Hear your family.
Look at our family now.
Inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios, there is a bullpen, and in that bullpen is the brilliant mind of Joe George. Call him now and challenge him in a battle of wits.
Battle of wits. I do need some advice, okay? For the people out there, I'm going to ask for advice. Now, this might... I might have a stupid question here, okay? I don't know if this is going to come off as a dumb question. I don't know if this is there's going to be an obvious answer. But you guys can text in 713-780-3776. You can tweet me at Joe George Radio. You can comment on Twitch. So I had an unfortunate incident happen to me today. My wife and I moved into a house that we're renting. We've been there for 3 days. Apparently, before we moved in, BMAC, they painted the laundry room. And the people who were painting the room were supposed to plug everything back in. So this morning, I threw in a load of laundry, and we went to breakfast. And when I came back, I opened the door, and my wife says, Joe. And I go, what? And then I plop right into a pile of water. Because they didn't plug the water hose back into the drain in the wall. It was sitting on the ground.
So, I mean, that's a full load of water. I mean,
It was pretty bad, BMAC.
Well, what I'm asking, like, I don't know how your house is sectioned off. Is it contained to the laundry room or is it spread out throughout the entire house?
So, like, there was, like, at least, like, 3 inches of water in the laundry room. You go right into a hallway. There's water there. That's not too bad. That got taken care of with towels. And then it went into one of the bedrooms. So my question is, how screwed am I on a scale of 1 to 10 with the water that's in the carpet that, like, when I walk, it squishes?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the question – I mean, the concern is – and, like, I'm not a handyman by any stretch. Don't confuse me here. My dad is. Maybe I could call him after the show. My concern would be, like, you know, mildew.
Mold?
Yeah, mold, mildew. That would be my concern. And, like, obviously that would leave a funky smell as well, so – the concern that just off the top of my head is obviously getting that dried so you don't have that problem. And then you talked about 3 inches in the laundry room. Did any of that get into the drywall?
No,
the
I don't think so. I think it was low enough.
Or it just went up to the...
Yeah, maybe 3 inches in extreme, but sure, like, it felt like I was, like, in a foot of water when I stepped in.
The way you described it, I was thinking in my head like a cartoon where you open the door and then the water just rolls out.
Well, it was funny, like, as we got to the house, like, I noticed there was water in the garage, and it was raining, like, not like it's been since this afternoon, but, like, I was like, there's a lot of water in the garage for some reason. Right by the door. Then we opened it. So, yeah, so we dried it. We did, like, the water vac as much as we could. But then at one point, like, we both were like, well, we have to go to work. So, like, they dropped off a shop vac that apparently is at the house right now. So when I get home, I have to see how if I can get all this water out.
That's what your night's going to be.
Yeah. I'm going to be on dad duty and then, like, trying to play, like, Baby Shark for my son while he watches that, and then I just vacuum the hell out of this carpet.
So the carpet hasn't been dried at all?
We dried it as much as we could. And then, like, we got fans going on, but we don't have one of those big industrial fans. Honestly,
so these are just, like, little household desktop fans?
Yeah, I think
fans.
We're screwed. I mean, not, like, we're not screwed because, like, it's not my fault.
If it's a tiny little desktop fan, that's not going to do anything for the carpet.
Yeah, I think we're in – it's a bad place. This is, like – immediate, like,
well, if you have to pull up the carpet, I mean,
well, yeah, we don't have to do anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're renting the house, so I mean, this is on them. This is would be their expense.
Yeah, it just was not.
So was it communicated to you that not everything was plugged back up?
They didn't know to give them a pass.
Oh, so they hired somebody who didn't complete the job.
When I was like, hey, when I called the landlord and I was like, this is what happened, and they're like, oh, it's weird. Like, maybe it wasn't plugged in all the way. They're like, you guys didn't do anything with it. I was like, no, no, no. And all of a sudden, I was like, well, see, what I realized, like, as I turned the water off, I looked down and I saw, like, there was just, like, water coming out of this black tube. And it was just, like, an endless supply of water. It was just, like, the worst. I was like, this is not how I want to start my day. Like, it was a nice, relaxing day. It was going to rain. I was going to get yelled at by Joel and Jeremy at some point for leaving the studio because I have important things to do sometimes. But, like, yeah. And then I have to deal with this when I get home. That's how my day started. It's going to get so much worse tonight.
Yeah, see, I played Starfield today. My day was significantly different.
And I got Wi-Fi this morning. We were like 3 days without Wi-Fi. That was tough.
God, sounds like you lived in the Stone Ages for a few days.
Yeah, I was doing a lot off of, you know, the iPhone, like, whatever, when you can make your iPhone a hotspot, like, making a hotspot. Like, I was doing that for like 2 days. It was not enjoyable. I couldn't do anything fun. I couldn't play video games. Like, I was just to, like, get my ass kicked on Madden. Like, I can't do that with
a hot spot. Just like the Bears usually do.
Yeah, we did get a text about them earlier.
About
someone
the Bears?
Yeah, people like to text me and make me miserable, even though I'm in the transfer
portal.
You're
not a Bears fan anymore.
8898 says, Joe, your thoughts on Justin Fields? He looked good at points in this game. Blah, blah, blah. Does this performance change your opinion? No, draft Caleb Williams. Make my life much better.
Yeah, the Broncos, the same team that Justin Fields tore up, gave up 70 to the Dolphins the week before. Let's not get excited yet.
9618 says, yeah, dot, 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 dot. They're going to have to replace the whole carpet. Awesome. I can't wait. Sucks. All right, so here's my list of – we're doing hot seat watch. Here's my list of coaches that I think are going to get fired.
We're starting this right now with, like, 2 minutes left in the segment?
Yeah.
It feels like we're going full bench here.
No, we can do some of it in the next segment. All right, here's my list. Matt Eberflus will be fired on Friday.
I agree with that. Well, maybe not Friday, but I agree he'll be fired.
Peter King said he thinks that he'll get fired on Friday. It's going to be 3-18 to start. Ron Rivera's on the hot seat. I think he's going to be out. I think at some point, like, they are going to finally blame
him. They'll quick trigger Sam Howell and put in Brissett. When that doesn't work, he'll get fired.
We have a new ownership group.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's about time. Brandon Staley.
I can see, like, given what Ron Rivera, like, has gone through in his personal life and his health, you know, recently, yeah. I could see them giving him the dignity of waiting to the end of the season. But I don't think he won't be their coach next year, but I could see them waiting to the end of the season.
I think really only Eberflus is the only one that's, like, in the immediate, like, line of getting fired right away. The only other one I have on my list of, like, if they're going to get fired, it could be during the season. I do wonder with Dennis Allen in New Orleans, like, if things don't get any better, like, what they will do.
Let's be honest, he was never a good coach in Canada to begin with. I think everyone outside of New Orleans knew that.
Is it crazy to think that, like, they brought in John Gruden this offseason?
If you're saying he should be the next coach, yes, that is crazy.
To, like, coach Derek Carr in the offense. I know it sounds insane, but, like, the fact that he was already there in the building, like, they've already kind of crossed that bridge. Like, it's not like, well, who was it? Was it Oklahoma? Like, they threw it, like, they got all upset because, and rightfully so, that Art Briles was there week one on the sidelines. Like, the New Orleans Saints made the decision to bring in, like, John Gruden to work with Derek Carr in the offense. So I kind of feel like they've already started to cross that line of, like, consideration of where, like, I wouldn't rule it out. I would put it at, like, a 5% chance.
I can't see the NFL okaying that.
I know, but, like,
I mean, it's one thing if you're consulted that 90% of the fans have no idea that they're there.
Yeah, he is suing them. So, like, that's a big issue.
Yeah, I couldn't see that.
Arthur Smith is on my hot seat watch. Mike Vrabel is on my list.
I couldn't see that.
Why? They're not good. They're not going to be good this year.
Vrabel, yeah, it'd be like the one time they weren't good. I mean, I know they lost a lot at the end of last season, and I guess you could say it's carried over, but I think he's going to get the pass of Tannehill's watch. Let's give him another quarterback and see how he does.
I think you're Vrabel's probably right.
Proven to be a really good coach. I couldn't see him. That to me would be way too reactionary to kick him out.
Kevin Stefanski's on my list because
I can see that.
Well, someone's going to have to get the blame.
Cousins is in his last year; they could blow everything up.
Like, no. Watson.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Stefanski, obviously previously in Minnesota as their OC. Yeah, but you're right.
Stefanski, like, he has to be, like, they're not going to be able to blame Deshaun Watson for their failure.
Too much money. Yeah,
too much money. So, like, the head coach is going to get the blame. The other two that, like, they're not on my list, okay? They're not. But they are on Twitter's list. If you look at Pittsburgh Steelers Twitter.
No.
Oh, boy. No.
Well, they're gonna scapegoat Matt Canada. Probably already should have by now. He's not a great OC.
Well, Jeremy was telling me during one of the breaks that, like, apparently he got caught with a burner account.
Canada?
Yeah. I need to find this. That's
not a great look.
No. If you have to create a burner account, you're a loser. Hi, Twitch. But, like, I would put...
I couldn't see Mike. I mean, if it happened this year, this would literally be the first time he's ever had a losing season in his career, if it even happened this year.
Yes. And the other one that I think is, like, interesting, and it's not that, like, again, I would not put him on my list, but based on the comments of Robert Kraft, it does feel like that there's no more paradise in New England. And, like, I really wonder if it's more like of a mutual of parting of ways, and Bill Belichick is not the coach of the Patriots.
I could see that.
Like, it feels like it's run its course. It's not that he, like, I cannot imagine an organization firing Bill Belichick, like after everything is accomplished. And I know that, like, but at some point it doesn't matter.
But at some point, right? Yes. Like, I think Belichick is still a great defensive mind. I have no doubt about that. But look at their track record drafting wide receivers. I mean, go find me a good wide receiver they drafted. I mean, one of the only ones they did develop with Jacoby Myers, they for some reason got petty with him, let him go, and brought in Juju Smith-Schuster, who couldn't even play as well
can't
as
do anything.
Yeah, he can't even play as well as Jacoby Myers. And obviously, quarterbacks haven't been a hit. I just have and then we remember what they did last year with their offensive coordinators with Matt Patricia, and I forget the former Giants coach they brought in that was the co-offensive coordinator. But yeah, the offensive side of the ball for Belichick since Brady left has just been such a disaster that you would have to fear his evaluation for the offensive side of the ball post Brady, the game has passed them by, and at least in that regard. So unless he's just going to give up total control of the offense to some young genius, which he won't do, then I can see
Bill O'Brien. He gave full control to Bill O'Brien.
Please, yes, let's make Bill O'Brien the next Patriots head coach. But
I don't think it's going to happen. I would be surprised if Bill Belichick.
But
not
I think
the coach,
you, I think
like,
you hit on the key word. It's a mutual parting. It wouldn't be. It would never be labeled as a firing. It's Bill Belichick wants to go spend time with the family.
I would definitely go do this or that. I would definitely say there's a better chance that Bill Belichick has gone from New England than there is Mike Tomlin's gone from Pittsburgh.
I agree with that.
I'm going to set the over-under at 4.5 coaches are fired this year. And I would probably lean towards
line.
The over because like it's been 5 or 6 pretty much every year.
4, 5, 6 is usually where the range is.
So I'll set it like 4.5. Arthur Smith was on my list as well. We're going to do a little bit of the quarterbacks next. Who are the quarterbacks that are on hot seat watch across the NFL? That list is lengthy, I think. But also, the Rockets kicked off training camp today. And for everyone that says, oh, you can't be this excited about the Texans, I just have one question. If you like believe for a second that you can be excited about the Texans, what does it take to get excited about the Rockets? We'll do that next as well. It's the bullpen here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
Toss a coin to your Witcher.
We now gently return you to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and the dulcet tunes of Joe George live in the bullpen.
Final segment of the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It looks like we're about to start a GoFundMe on the Twitch page. Fishing with Dana has requested that I dress up as Orbit for Halloween. And my response is, if you buy it, I'll wear it.
I can see you pulling off that
outfit. I'm not going to be here on Halloween. I'm going to go trick-or-treating. I'm going to take Halloween off. Sorry, Joel and Jeremy, if you're hearing about this first.
Oh, Joel's not going to like that.
I know. I can't take time off, apparently. I'm going to take Halloween off, but I will wear it. The day before Halloween.
So you don't already have a costume picked out?
Yeah, I'm not going to wear a costume. I don't even know what my son's going to be.
So you've never been a matching costumes with the wife sort of person?
No, not really. We did like the Bugs Bunny, Lola Bunny thing 1 year, but it was like literally just like the tank tops. Like that's all, like the fake jerseys.
Yeah, sounds like you mailed that one in. Yeah, when was the last time you actually like tried as far as
Halloween?
For like a costume, yeah.
Never.
Like not even as a kid?
I guess when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was when I was, you know, last time, and you'll appreciate, well, actually, you might not appreciate this, because when this tag team was wrestling, you would have been like 5 or 6, but the last time I tried is for a Halloween costume, me and my friend Charles, and when we were, I think, freshmen in high school, dressed up as do you remember the WWF tag team, the Headbangers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mosh and Thrasher, the Headbangers, we dressed up as that, and got called lots of bad names by the people we went and trick-or-treated with and then never did it again.
That's funny. I probably went as like either Sub-Zero. I probably went as Sub-Zero like 4 or 5 years straight. Like just like every year. Because like that's just, I don't know why.
I'm just glad it wasn't Glacier.
My parents didn't even like let me play Mortal Kombat.
But they let you dress up as Sub-Zero?
I don't think they really knew what I was wearing, to be honest.
That's probably
like I wouldn't call my parents like, sorry, Mom, Dad, if you're listening, like sheltered, but like I just don't know if they knew or cared or like thought I didn't know what it was and thought it was just like a ninja costume, which is like very logical that could have been the case in my household. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We talked about Bam Bam for my son, and I'll be Fred Flintstone, I guess. But like,
so not Bam Bam Bigelow. Because that would be a great look.
That would be funny, though.
Yeah, if your son dressed up as Bam Bam Bigelow, I might need to show up and see this in person.
All right, so real quick here, before we do a little bit of Rocket stuff, and just a reminder, we will not have a show tomorrow at 6. We'll have Houston Dynamo. They play at 6:30 tomorrow, so pregame will start with Glenn Davis at 6 here on the station. Here's my list of quarterbacks that are on the hot seat. And I'm going to start with the ones that I think are definitely going to get replaced. Okay, Justin Fields, duh.
So there's nothing he could do to keep his job.
The Bears can get the second and third pick in the draft and not like Drake May.
Yeah.
I think that's like the only thing. I would be stunned if he's their quarterback next year. Sam Howell.
Yeah, he's gone.
It's been brutal.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett, I think it's like very quickly headed towards being replaced.
I would agree with that. He's
at the end of the season. I'll put Ryan Tannehill in that conversation. Just because it's like they drafted Malik Willis and then they drafted Will Levis. Like, what's the point of drafting these guys if you're not going to eventually move
There's
on?
There's no way Tannehill's the starter next year. I agree with that.
Mac Jones?
He was a first-round pick. What is he? He's in year three this year?
Yeah.
I bet he gets next. I could still see him getting next year, but it wouldn't be impossible. It definitely wouldn't be impossible.
Yeah. No, my next grouping is like the old guys who like they make a lot of money, so it's going to be hard to replace them. But maybe you should. Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Geno Smith. This guy's not old, but he makes a ton of money. But we all saw last night, if you were an idiot like me and wasted your life watching the Giants game, Daniel Jones stinks.
The first name you mentioned, I couldn't see. Russell Wilson, he's got too much money.
I think they're going to try. But what if they get the first pick in the draft? Like, do you just play Caleb Williams and make Russell Wilson your backup?
I don't think they're going to get the first overall pick. I mean, that's going to be Bears, Panthers.
So the Bears are the Bears?
Yeah, the Bears and the Bears, exactly. I couldn't see them getting number one pick, and two, Russell Wilson just has too much money tied up. Now, Stafford's interesting because he almost retired last year. But he's playing well. I mean, you look at
it. He's playing really well.
Just look at the stat sheet. I know that they haven't won they're not undefeated by any means. I think he's passed for over 300 yards every game but one, and that's without Cooper Kupp. And he's obviously helped with Puka Nacua showing up and looking like the next superstar. Yeah, so I could see Stafford, Kirk Cousins in his last year with Cousins, Minnesota. So yeah. I could see Stafford and Cousins. Russell Wilson I can't see just because of the money.
What about my next list is guys that are playing good so far. I guess it's really just one guy in this category. Or no, it's two guys that are playing good to like above average so far, but probably could still get easily replaced. I'm going to put Jordan Love in this category.
He'd have to play bad to get replaced. Yeah. Like, if he's average, he'll be there next year.
Baker? Like, Baker's playing good enough to where, like, I'm like, you know what?
I kind of believe, but I don't. Like, I think Baker falls into the category, and I think we do this especially, like, in fantasy. Like, who's this year's Geno Smith? It looks like Baker might be this year's Geno Smith. Yeah. Kind of a, former first-round – well, Geno Smith is a second-rounder, but former highly drafted quarterback who floundered and went, through multiple teams and never looked really any good except for outside of Baker's rookie year where he set the rookie touchdown record, which eventually got broken again by Justin Herbert. But Baker's kind of floundered around for years, but yeah, like you said, he's looked good. He's got good receivers there with Godwin and Mike Evans. So I guess it depends where the Bucs pick. I think the Bucs have enough talent that they can't possibly be in the range for one of the top quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They're going to win eight. They're probably going to win eight games. So I think Baker could return simply because what would the Bucs' other option be? If they're picking, 13, 14, 15, why not just keep Baker around for another year?
The last guy I have on my list of who I think is going to be the most fascinating story of the offseason is without a doubt Tua Tagovailoa. Because
you think he could? That's just injury though, right?
But like, I don't know how you pay that guy. Like, but like, he's good. Like, I could not imagine like these teams that like paid.
Is
like,
this year four for
like,
Tua?
I think so. Like the Giants.
So he would still have the fifth year option. I think he's still there next year.
Or he's on his fifth year. I can't remember right now. But like,
look it up.
But like, you have the Giants. Like, the Giants paid Daniel Jones. They shouldn't have done it. Like, all these contracts are going to quarterbacks, and like, it's not going well for pretty much any of them. And then, like, you're going to have Tua sitting there, and like, the results are going to tell you pay him. But like, everything should tell you that it's the worst decision you can make as a franchise. Well, the Milwaukee Brewers are already up 3-0 over the Diamondbacks.
This is his fourth year, by the way. Is this too. Fourth so year? He would have the fifth year option Which
I think
next year.
Yeah, so like, I guess he could do like
he'll,
one
I
more
think
year.
He'll be there next year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. All right, we'll do Rockets another day. That's going to do it for us today. We're going to have Soccer Matters coming up next with Glenn Davis. Tomorrow night we will not have a bullpen because we'll have the Houston Dynamo will be in action tomorrow night beginning at 6 o'clock. Glenn Davis will have the pregame call.
In Canada.
In Canada. Anything good in Canada?
Bret Hart?
Yep, that's a good answer. All right, that's going to do it for us here. I am Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio. That's BMAC behind the glass on Twitter at Sacked by BMAC. I'll be back with the Killer Bees tomorrow at 3. See you then.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got weights in fish.
We got weights in fish.
There we go.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.